Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hot diggity dog, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. The Premier League commences tonight. Arsenal are at home to Newcastle and Manchester United face Chelsea. Well, ladies and gentlemen, three's company but four's a ramble, as we know, because Luke Moore, Jim Campbell, myself, Marcus Miller, are joined by Pete Donaldson.
Hello, how are you doing? You all right?
The Traveller is back, ladies and
just
gentlemen.
Just stepped off a plane.
Oh, you look fantastic.
Thanks. I didn't have any cufflinks. I couldn't find my cufflinks, so I had to run to Top Man so that my shirt wasn't flapping in the wind.
So that your facade
and,
was kept
and
up.
Yeah, and because it was raining, I ran in and I slipped arse over tit. I actually quite hurt myself in front of the Top Man resident DJ. And he had the cheek to look at me in a withering manner. I looked at him and thought,
I could be you.
You are the Top Man. I have been him. Yeah. I've DJed in Top Man before.
But you
so
are...
if he thinks he's got the better of me, I've done his job. And he's still doing that job.
Well, yeah. You are no longer a DJ, though, so maybe he doesn't see it that way.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like,
I'm a normie.
You tapped out, coward. Yeah, I'm still here living it.
I think it's like when a former police officer gets pulled over for speeding, they think, this will be fine. It's not fine.
It's not fine.
You're not a police officer anymore.
Not fine.
And I can also say in the intro, Marcus, you made it sound like it was Arsenal, Newcastle tonight, but it's not. If people want a Valentine's Day treat in their football tonight, they're going to need to go to Wolverhampton.
They are going to.
As all great Valentine's Day stories start in Wolverhampton.
I'm so confused. I thought there was football on Thursday.
No, we're
fine.
You don't know what that is because you've been in Japan, of course.
Yeah. Well, we're in the future there, aren't we?
Uh-huh, I assume
without fax machines.
I assume you had a lovely time, Peter. But you're going to have a lovely time potentially on Sunday at 4:30 because Newcastle United are away to Arsenal. And it's the Jim Pete Derby.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because we have the Jim Luke Derby.
Yeah, Pompey lost again.
Not that long ago. I know.
They lost on Tuesday.
Oh. It's not good, is it?
It's almost like me taunting the football gods backfired in my face.
Well, they can take it out on Arsenal soon enough.
They
but
will.
Until then, Mikel Arteta is convinced that Arsenal can still qualify for the Champions League this season. They're currently 10 points behind fourth place Chelsea. He's only won one of his seven league matches in charge. They have won twice in the league since early October.
But he's got the press on his side.
They can't.
Yeah,
they just can't.
I'm going to disagree,
Jim,
with
they
Mikel.
Can't.
They can't what?
They can't qualify for the Champions League because of their players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's also the attitude of a lot of those players that you let off the hook.
Yeah, true. Sorry, mate.
And the culture at the club.
I didn't paint the full picture.
Yeah. And how we all hate them in the stadium.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to help them.
I like the idea of Mikel looking over the form, seeing four draws in a row and going, that's Champions League form.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
In this league, it bloody is.
Yeah.
A few months ago,
that
would have been two draws and two losses.
It would have.
Chelsea have been getting away with it for the last 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not have a bit of that?
That's about to catch up with them, it would seem, but we'll get onto that in a bit. But yeah, it's almost like Arteta's probably looking at that team on paper going, this looks pretty good. Why aren't things better?
Oh, I've got Aubameyang in twice. Yeah. Right, I have to start this again.
But Jim, you know you said it's about to come home. The chickens are about to come home to roost for Chelsea.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I mean this is like an honest question. Do you think Chelsea and Frank Lampard look over their shoulders and see Arsenal under Mikel Arteta and go, God, we're in trouble here?
I think there's too many other teams in the way.
Oh, they can't even see Arsenal.
Yeah, they've got to look up to Sheffield first and then look back down. So at that point, I think the vision's a bit stretched.
The great Sheffield reflector that they've installed.
No, they're two points above Sheffield United.
Yeah. But Arsenal have drawn their last four games. Newcastle have drawn three of the last four. So this could be absolutely shit, couldn't it?
I would argue that Newcastle draws have been way more underwhelming than Arsenal's.
But is this the first
Chelsea
time...
The Chelsea draw was a good result, to be fair, for Arsenal.
Is this first time in Ramble history where we're going to explicitly tell people they shouldn't watch a game of football? Because I'm here for it.
No, yeah. You can't, that's ridiculous to try and deprive people of Steve Bruce's Newcastle United.
I know.
Yeah, that's cruel. True.
Be
he's
nice.
Doing right.
Is this the first game since the Willycopter for Newcastle?
Yeah. Oh, I think it yes might it be. Is, yeah. So the momentum built up from those who've been waiting to unleash their Willycopters.
Unleash their Willycopters.
I'm just trying to show solidarity with the stewards working in that away end this
not
weekend.
Not at yeah. the Emirates. Come on.
No, at the fine. Emirates.
Yeah. Not at the Emirates.
I think it's probably the place you're most likely to get away with it, is it not?
No, surely not. No, because people are enjoying...
Because it'll be interpreted as like an art house cinema.
Yes.
Yeah? Flailing cocks all over the place anyway.
You won't even notice.
The Willycopter made its debut in the city of Oxford, for crying
exactly.
out loud. I don't think the Emirates is that.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop. Oh, no, sorry. Stop doing it. No, sorry. That's John Joe Shelby.
Arsenal and Newcastle are level on points. Sounds weird.
It would, if you did do it in Oxford or even Cambridge, it would be a great way to get down a body of water in the boat race.
True.
They should be doing it while they're pulling the oars, so to speak.
Yeah.
They should have their Willy copters on full blast.
Like a propeller.
A propeller.
Is that how you led got back from Japan? Yeah. You coptered your way all over.
Pete, if they're all going to do as a propeller on the back of the boat, they all need to be on the back of the boat. They can't be on the side of it because it just won't go anywhere.
Sam Maximan's at the front of the boat.
We're steering it.
Yeah.
No, just like live streaming the whole thing.
Leading the charge.
Does anything tell you more about this season in the Premier League than, because I just want to expand on what Jim said, then Arsenal, Burnley, Newcastle and Southampton all being on the same point in the middle of the Premier League in February.
It has Liverpool at the top and Man City falling away a little bit and obviously there's a pretty spicy relegation battle.
Yes.
It's been a turgid Premier League season.
Liverpool Endless have taken time. All the
has
points.
Has it been turgid or has it been brilliant? Because isn't it a good thing that it's so tight in a lot of places?
Well, I think with Liverpool...
It's not tight. It's just nobody wants to put together a run. It's just a great amorphous blob of football toss.
You're right, it's consistently slack rather than being tight.
I was watching the Real Sociedad Real match last week and I was like, I remember like good football teams, like how they play football. Because I watch a lot of Newcastle, it's actually quite hard. Because even the teams that we're playing are crap as well.
Are you going to Japan on holiday just to watch the league again? in indie bars? Because it seems like a bit of an effort.
Oi, right in the centre of the Venn diagram is Andres Iniesta.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. J-League's on terrestrial next season, I think.
His team had a mad penalty shootout the other week.
Yeah.
We talked about it, didn't we? I think we mentioned it.
Six pens missed in a row or something like that.
It's more ridiculous than that, I think.
But I think this season, though, actually, I understand the point of saying it's a bit dross and whatnot, but there have been some stories. Sheffield United, an amazing story.
Leicester,
for the large part. Although the problem is they gave us a much better story not that long ago. So, you know. But no, Leicester have been great. But Liverpool, you can't... I understand, but I think it's because they haven't won the league for so long. They've never won, the league under the Premier League. They've been so blisteringly good. It's absolutely fascinating. The football they play is scintillating.
Yeah.
So, actually, for teams that have run away with it and the thought of that being boring, I take that. But I think this is... I think it's been intriguing.
Leicester's this season has very much been the go-setter watchman to Kill a Mockingbird. The underwhelming kind of second story come on quite a long time later that people kind of are into, but I mean, really, it's all just PR.
Yeah. Mm.
And Brendan Rodgers is involved in both.
Is it the Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe it is the Better Call Saul.
They're back for a new season. Have some respect, Marcus.
I am having respect. It's a good season.
I've only watched five episodes.
Some people I know and respect like Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad. And I don't agree with them.
I agree with you in not agreeing with them.
Thanks, Jim.
But I do like both. I would also argue that I think I can take my Arsenal hat off enough to accept that for most fans, Man United and Arsenal being so utterly shit, well, they, probably
come
brilliant.
On. Yeah, come on, Ballsy. Yeah, you're enjoying Man United. And it would appear that the vast majority of the loving crowds that we perform to in the Ramble Tour are also enjoying Manchester United's demise.
But I kind of had I kind of had this last year with the Champions League final. I thought whoever wins, it's going to be a nice story. Because Liverpool, obviously, everyone likes Jurgen Klopp because he's a cool dude.
And hadn't won the competition.
And Spurs, you know, it's a hell of a story for Spurs to get through. And there was so much like romance to get there. Yeah. What was played out was a terrible game of football, as the Champions League final usually is. But now I'm just like, the romance has gone for me for this. So Liverpool winning, let's just get out of the way. Yeah. And then we can start afresh with a better Premier League next season.
I understand what you mean. I think it feels a bit like we're just waiting for it to be confirmed. Mm. Mm. But on the quality of the Premier League discussion, there's a big like Twitter movement about the backlash to people saying the Premier League's been shit this season by...
Does it sound like Twitter?
Yeah, by the beards. And I was like, actually, is it that shit or is it actually quite good? And it's like, it's a pointless argument because... If you watch a game and it's a shit game and teams do things that are bad, that they shouldn't be doing, making mistakes, then clearly you have a right to say that, you know, really, it doesn't look like it's
great
quality.
We know what football looks like.
But Johan Cruyff said that football's a game of mistakes or something, didn't he? He said it's about mistakes.
I think it's about how much you're enjoying it, really.
Here's that attention you ordered.
Yeah. Didn't happen of the year, hashtag.
Incredibly strange thing to lie about. But I think, going back to Arsenal...
She is not going to shag you.
No, for that we can all agree. Yeah. But going all the way back, Jim, you're saying about, you mentioned the players' attitudes. You seem to be sort of team Unai Emery.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
Emery piped up saying he was intrinsic to signing Neymar the other day.
Oh, well. But
Arsenal fans are thinking, well, you gave us fucking...
But Emery, much like you said...
Neymar probably knew he could just do what he wanted. Yeah. Like, yeah, brilliant.
But Jim, what you said there about sort of players' attitudes, you know, in doing so, you aligned yourself with Unai Emery because he said that that some of the players had bad attitudes during an 18-month spell at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. So
which he made significantly worse.
But he said losing four captains, Cech, Monreal, Koscielny, and Ramsey was a huge blow.
Yeah.
Do you want to distance yourself from the man now?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I have very little retrospective love for Unai Emery. He made Arsenal a lot worse. He was a boring man with very little charisma.
Cech was a captain.
Europa League final, mate. Have a bit of respect.
Yeah, but see, this is what's frustrating about Emery. He talks about how last season was a good season. It's like, it wasn't a good season. Nearly. It absolutely Game of Thrones'd it. Like like losing that Europa League final undoes the fact that you were in it at all, especially the manner of it, and like falling away so much, and finishing a point behind fourth. Mm. It's not something to celebrate, and it's something he repeatedly has celebrated. So
you
take
goodbye, it this season,
Bruce Rioja.
The thing is. Yeah, if you name all your players captains, you can then say, I've lost four captains. Mm. Yeah, he had a thing where he had five, didn't he? It's the first time I've ever heard of it being five captains.
Yeah, and he took months to pick them. And then one of them is Granit Xhaka, and then he took it off him.
As a palate anyway.
Yeah.
But Ozil and Alexander Lacazette have both said publicly that they're enjoying being under Arteta.
They look like they're playing better football. Well, for one.
Do you want me to translate that for you? Please pick me in the team.
Yes. They said his tactics have improved things and the side is more united.
I would agree with that. Even though the results are still not brilliant, the performances have been better. Arsenal have set the agenda a little bit more in games, and there have at least been those periods in games where they've been good. And again, the Chelsea result was a good comeback. It's a step in the right direction. This season is an absolute write-off, of course. I'm not going to judge Arteta too harshly just yet.
That doesn't definitely feel there's a better feeling about.
He's got a big job on his hands. Yeah. You've got to give him time to do it.
I don't think they're going to get into the top four, but he has to aim for that, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you would obviously want him there next season, unless it's an absolute disaster. Yeah, of course. Which I don't think.
I think he'd have to kill a player or something to get sacked.
Depends who though.
Well,
would you not say? After you've just discussed your hatred,
I don't want to nominate one if that's what you're trying to push me into.
Ozil's on a lot of money.
So we started the show with telling people not to watch football and that managers might start killing players.
In Fortnite.
That's Ozil, then straight away.
Now, Pete Donaldson, I put it to you, could we see Danny Rose start?
Yeah, it'd be
Newcastle.
Nice to see. Well, we are kind of very, very late in his position. So, I reckon he might.
Can you give us something on this? Because Marcus's next talking point is Emmanuel Adebayor. So. It is vital that you bring Chad to the table.
Is Danny Rose not overdue another volley in a against Arsenal?
Yeah.
From long range?
Is that his debut? Wasn't it?
It might have been.
Well, he'll have to because he's a defensive player and they're the only ones who scoff on Newcastle United. Exactly. Don't worry about it.
But, you know,
he's guaranteed a debut goal.
Was it his debut for Spurs?
I think was it in the League Cup as well?
I can't believe
it. Let's just keep asking questions of each other. We don't know the answer.
Until Luke quickly finds it out.
It was in 2007.
All I'm saying is, though, that it's a good precedent. So stick him in there.
I like him. I'm glad he is coming.
I quite like him, just because he's just really moody and that seems to annoy people. It's just like, he's just being himself.
He scored in the first goal of the game in his league debut against Arsenal on the 14th of April 2010. So
well,
he
remembered.
Signed for Spurs in 2007.
I think he Googled that.
I literally Googled it right then.
Fraud. Oh, actually, it was Yahoo.
I use Ask Jeeves.
I use weird dark web ones.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's have Pete name some dark web search engines. Yeah, come on, give us a couple.
Bing. Apparently, Bing has a lot more pornography on it because it doesn't take things down quite so quickly as Google. So there you go. Porno fans.
Which
Luke's definitely one. Look at his jingle day, boy.
The most searched item on Bing is what? Google.
Google, yeah.
Is that right? What about this, though? Former Arsenal great, Emmanuel Adebayor.
Told you.
He's left Turkey for Olimpia Asuncion in Paraguay, which is quite nice because he's going to team up with 38-year-old club captain Roque Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
What a vintage strike
that partnership. That is an interesting one. Is there something we're missing here, Marcus? Have they had like a big cash injection or something? Is he just off like an adventure holiday?
I think it's probably the last.
On his debut... Will he run from Paraguay to North London as a celebration?
I'd be surprised if he ran at all, to be honest,
There's a team in Argentina, I think, called Arsenal. So he could make the shorter trip and
there's
just
There's definitely
run there.
One in South America. Yeah, he could do that.
Yeah. That's right. Because there's an Everton in Chile.
There is.
There's loads of English teams, like names knocking about.
Newell's Old Boys, for example.
Exactly. Liverpool as well.
There's no Wolverhampton Wanderers, to my knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. But they are playing Leicester City tonight. It's a big Friday. It's a tasty one for a Friday night.
Valentine's Day special.
It's going to be a lot of...
Wagner Love's coming out at half-time.
Oh, yes. What about Yogi Love?
Yeah, he's there, sniffing his hands after he's scratched his balls.
What about Pardew's player? What's his name? Penis. He scored the other night.
Shaquille Penis. Yeah,
he scored. They lost.
Jim, we've done this. I'm pretty sure we've done this. I just want to marvel at it. Some of the players he's got playing under him, their names are amazing. Yeah. We covered it. But we're going to recover it.
Marcus, carry on
for now.
Indeed, yeah.
I'll get back to you in a minute.
On paper, I think Wolves and Leicester are fairly similar. Leicester's obviously number of points ahead. They're on 49. Mm. Wolves are on 35 points in ninth. But considering the season, I think Wolves fans could feel a touch sort of, I don't know about disappointed, but I know it's only their, they've not been long in the Premier League. But considering the points available, I'm surprised that they're that many points off Leicester.
Especially
with
what we've been talking about and how weird the Premier League is this season.
Yeah. Crescencio Somerville.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Any interest in that?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Not this time of year, though.
Robin Polly, Luke Koopmans, John Goosens. Mm-hmm. There's loads. Robert Zwinkels.
That's a lot of Zwinkels. That's a bit Pete Donaldson, that.
And Tudor Baluta.
That's the best one. Start with that one.
Tudor Baluta.
Start with
Penis.
End with Shaquille Penis, of course. But, I mean, what do you reckon of Wolves this season, Luke?
Good team.
Yeah. I know, but are you... I mean, it's not a shocking point, Sally, 35, especially as everybody else seems kind of in that...
They're safe in their ninth.
They draw a lot of games, and I feel like they've got a lot of momentum. Right. I know they've lost like three of the last six or something, but they generally are pretty reliable. They come through
got some classy operators
in the latter half of the season. I think they start. I mean, yeah, it's difficult not to say about them really because they're a good team. They're capable of going on really good runs. Mm. Obviously, they've got one eye on that game against Espanyol in the in the Europa League coming up.
Well, I know it's an obvious thing to say, but could that perhaps be it? Just the huge amount of fixtures they've had. Because of the Europa League and because of where they started in the qualifying rounds.
I forget that.
Put the brakes on them a little bit.
I think...
Maybe I'm being harsh.
They're not in any danger of leaving the league. They've got some good young players, certainly on loan as well. There's a lad over at Carlisle, I think, who's doing very, very well. And I think there's more great stuff to come from that football
team. But they were at least partly responsible for the absolute disgrace that was the 0-0 at Old Trafford last time out.
Well, Man United showed them they were a good team.
They did actually.
Showed some respect.
Wolves show you not a lot of respect there.
I just wonder, I think with Wolves,
they tried to score a couple of times.
Yeah, come the summer, I know there's going to be a lot of money spent because if you look at Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal as well possibly,
Tottenham, we'll come on to them. There's a lot of sides who are not performing as they would like to, and you would think that, you know, but I'm just saying for a side like Wolves, there's an opportunity here to actually, if not this season, it would be unlikely, next season go, right, I'll tell you something, fourth place, maybe even third, because Leicester, if Leicester didn't finish, say if Leicester finished fifth or sixth next season, it wouldn't be a shock, I don't think. Mm. But I think Wolves building for the rest of the, get that momentum going for the rest of the season in the summer, chance to sign a few players. They could really build something there and actually next season push on and really have realistic kind of ambitions to finish in Europe, maybe even Champions League, depending on the spending and what happens, if you see what I mean.
Well, they've got to turn those, as Luke alluded to, they've got to just turn some of those draws into wins. They've lost six games. Chelsea have lost eight in fourth. So, you know, they're only 6 points behind Chelsea. If they can, like, step it up in this latter part of the season, you might be onto something here.
Well,
Marcus,
if they finished fourth this season, they got into Europe. How many more players they could sign in the summer? Yeah. They could really build something. Look at what's going on at Leicester, you know, just up the road or across the road, depending on, you know, what's going on there. I think this is a real opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you, narrative whisperer. I want this to happen.
What they have
save our season, Wolves.
What they have done pretty well is, like, the season before this one, they struggled against teams that weren't glamorous, that weren't big games they can get themselves up for. And like I said before, if you look at the players they've got, a lot of them are kind of football royalty, really, in terms of where they've come from. But this season, they've done okay. I mean, the only sort of team you'd expect them to beat that they've lost against is Watford away from home. They had a bit of a slip up there. And the other losses have come against Liverpool twice, where everyone loses to Liverpool.
And they were unlucky at Anfield.
Yeah, and Chelsea, and I think they lost to Everton as well in weird circumstances. So, they are getting there, and it's part of a process. They've got a plan.
It's a hugely impressive plan. Think about it. It's not that long, and now we're talking about, well, could they push on Champions League and all this kind of stuff? Not that long ago, they came up from the Championship. It shows you what good planning and what good strategy has been going on there.
And I just think it'll be a romantic occasion tonight. You know, it's Valentine's Day. It's two teams from the Midlands. Hey,
Brendy Rodgers.
They're both great to watch. Brendy's going to flash a bit of the grin, glint in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be lovely.
In the teeth.
What about Harvey Barnes? He's a beautiful boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's a lot of chat at the moment mounting for him to get an England call. It's been very impressive.
James Madison's going, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Barnes has been good, though.
He has been good, yeah. Is he one of those players where it might be a little bit late, though?
No, he's going to crash the squad. That's what all the media said. Crashing.
There's a lot of players.
30-minute friendly left, isn't there?
There's a lot of people who are about to gate crash that squad.
Yeah.
To the point of we won't know any of the team. But Barnes has been impressive. But you mentioned Maddison. Rodgers leapt to his defence recently, didn't he? Rodgers was essentially saying that a lot of the speculation around Maddison and his attitude and lifestyle was unfair and not true, because Maddison was pictured in Dubai having it large.
It keeps coming up over and over again, Rodgers having to defend Maddison.
Yeah, you would think.
He's done like three or four times this season.
But Rodgers really likes him. I mean, defends him not only on a kind of professional and footballing basis, but also says he's a charming young man off the pitch.
I think the front page, I guess, of the newspapers get a hold of one player, they know photographers know that those photographs are going to sell. They just know that's going to be a narrative that papers are going to pay money for. So you just follow the player around.
Never been on the front page of a newspaper? Was that
not on the front
speech?
Page? I mean, like, as in, like, back they page. Get caught. Well, right, back page. Then in this case, I mean, we'll
I thought you meant that. I thought you meant that he's been naughty so bad that he's been on the front page of a tabloid.
He gets to the centre section.
He makes his way to the centre.
But footballers go to Dubai and, you know,
they all do.
drink themselves silly anytime. But some footballers, paparazzi, know, follow that guy around. If I get a good picture of him sinking a fucking yard of ale, I'll make a lot of money.
You just basically talk about Jordan Pickford there.
That's pretty much
what I'm saying. That's why you disappear off to Japan.
Yeah.
They can't find you there.
You're just
away. You're gone.
Just trying to get pictures.
You can do what you like. You can drink what you want.
He's changed clubs recently.
And King Kazu.
Has he really? All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some emails with PDD. Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now
Pete is reading it out. Well done. Can Damian Cunningham fast forward this section this week?
I would like to just say Jim. You are like,
I know what I've done,
Jose Mourinho, and I am like Rafa Benitez. I'm constantly, every time I let you do the emails when I'm away, I'm mopping up your mess when I come back. It's like, treat it like a campsite or a younger lover. Treat it, make it just make sure it's in a better condition when you leave than when it started, okay? Just treat it with some respect, okay?
Can I just say quickly that you say that? Apparently Rafa Benitez took his, Dalian Yifang, Chinese side, took them to Marbella, same hotel as Manchester United were going to stay at, and they went, oh, coronavirus, Chinese players. So Manchester United went elsewhere.
Oh, they went elsewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Right, and that's the end of the emails, isn't
that's
it?
That's the end of the emails.
We're moving on from this section.
Yeah, the email box was quite quiet, according to Jim. What did you do?
Jim? I looked in the old one, it turns out.
Yep.
So I'd like to apologise to everyone
the jingle.
Other than Damien Cunningham.
Sure at footballrambledaily.com.
Yep.
That is the name of the email box that you're supposed to be checking, but what email box did you check?
The old one.
Sure at thefootballramble.com.
You're in it with Damien. You said Damien, oi.
In Jim's defence, he never even remembered there was a jingle, so he's not
too busy fending off the chaos from the old inbox.
Yeah. So we have got more emails than Jim realised. Pete, there's only like two emails in this book. There's 50. And they're all unread.
And we're reading them all right now.
Rob Hill's not a pervert. He says, "Dear Rambler, stop giving out to perverts like Damien the Cup Weirdo Egg platform." Once upon a time, the BBC started giving unknown Eurosceptic cranks like Nigel Farage a regular sort on Question Time. Now look where we are as a nation.
Don't overestimate our power.
Yeah. Hello, Ramblers. American here who got into football seriously a few years ago. I first chose to support Man City, because I like a lot of their players, but watching them win literally everything was boring. So now I have a firm allegiance to Leeds. Good on you. Anyway, I've been soaking up everything to do with the sport, including its rich history. I know Luke is a fan of Portsmouth, and I was curious about a brief history of the club. Has Portsmouth ever been in the top flight in the past?
Oh,
I can't tell whether he's taken
that's
the mic.
That's a lovely dig.
I can't it's tell whether Roman's
dig.
Taken the mic.
Fuck off.
I'll field this one. No, they haven't. Yeah. Right, okay. The only side on the south coast to have ever won the top flight, my good man.
Vincent,
are you doing all 50 of these?
Yeah, I'm getting through them. Getting through them. I mean, to be fair, a lot of them were about the FA Cup and a lot of abuse for Damien.
Yeah.
So if you're up about Damien or the FA Cup, we're not continuing that thread. Mm. That thread is dead. Uh-huh. Thank you for your emails. Maybe we'll print it out in a tomb as large as an
encyclopedia. No, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll separate the men from the boys here, Pete.
Okay.
If you want to be a Patreon subscriber, you can have some of those emails.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Get over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. I'll just get Charlie to do it. You're fine.
We're selling the old email.
Yeah. Well done, Jim. What a brilliant,
business decision.
Say what you like about Jim, but he's a good revenue generator.
I know, right? Got an email from Vincent in Gothenburg. Swedish side Varberg have been promoted to the Swedish top tier for the first time, so the club have decided to sell the naming rights for the stadium. So in an odd move, the local millionaire slash crazy person Lasse Dieding has bid £600,000. His idea to name the stadium the Lenin Stadium.
Oh,
the main reason for this seems to be that Dieding owns a 4 meter. he owns a 4 meter Stalin statue and also a 2 meter bust of Lenin's head.
Oh dear!
Right.
He loves old Russian leaders. It seems. Mm. The local council seem unimpressed by the idea, but I hope Dieding get his way, as it would make Swedish Minnows Varberg owners of the strangest stadium possible, possibly in all of world football. We kind of forget the fact that we did have Michael Jackson outside that stadium, though. So
yeah, follow me. They should name it like the Lenon, like John Lennon. Get a bit of Beatles vibe going. Oh, sorry, didn't quite hear you on the phone there.
When I was up in Liverpool doing the thing for Redman TV, I might have told you this already, and you should check them out. They're great, nice people. The taxi driver asked me if I knew who John Lennon was.
Mm. Nice.
Do you know John Lennon? I said, and before I could say yes, he went, of the Beatles. I was like, oh, sorry, I thought you'd some other John Lennon.
Liverpool taxi drivers are very proud of their.
Which is, I like that.
Yeah. The country. I'm going to say country.
When we were there before, a similar thing happened. It was the taxi driver just sort of didn't wait for us to finish, did he? He was driving around. Do you remember? He said, Liverpool probably has more history than any city in the world. Those were his.
Well, all right. Well, name another.
Rome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good argument, Jim.
Again, guys, Portsmouth. Carry on.
Hadley from Cambridge, Massachusetts, USA. I think it's probably Hadley. Ahoy, gents. I was sent a Psychology Journal article about the relationship between the height of a referee and the amount of cards and penalties they award. Yeah. They studied 61 referees from 4 professional leagues in England. There was no effect of referee heights on fouls awarded, but shorter referees do give more yellow cards.
Mm.
I spent the last few minutes trying to find the height of Mike Dean and Kevin Friend to no avail. I thought it was interesting. Wish I had something funny to add. Look, Hadley, that is much better than any of the English we've had.
Not particularly tall. I met Kevin Friend. He was only about my height, so quite short, man.
Okie dokie. Yeah. And finally for now, DD says, as per my last email, I'm doing stat searching while I can't sleep. Did you know that Yakubu has the same amount of Premier League hat-tricks as Cristiano Ronaldo, Dennis Bergkamp, Eric Cantona, Gianfranco Zola have combined?
Oh, wow.
That's big, isn't it?
That is amazing.
Did you check that?
Big. No.
Check it.
I check Mask Winger, and that's all my checking I do. All
Jim
right?
checked it, but he checked it on the old website.
Here's the email jingle.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Well done indeed. Let's have a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. This Sunday, Aston Villa host Tottenham Hotspur. Jose Mourinho shaved his head.
Yeah, don't like it.
You seem very excited about this, Marcus.
No, I prefer him with hair. His Sadiq Khan look's gone.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bit of a shame. But according to the stats, apparently Mourinho has a good winning record after going to the Barbers in 2006-07. Chelsea won 9 of their first 11 league matches after Mourinho went for a similar haircut. And in the 2013-14 season, because he was back at Chelsea, Mourinho used Fernando Torres' clippers to cut his bonds, and they subsequently won 8 of their next 10 league games. In his 19 games in charge of Spurs, he's won 10, drawn 4, lost 5. Expect those stats to get better.
I had a shaved head through most of my 20s. Now, I wasn't very successful. B, don't share clippers.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
share clippers.
Shout out to the sub at the Sun or wherever it was. It did that well. You are doing God's work there. Finally. I mean, imagine the brief you get from your boss there. Yeah. Right. Rihanna's the haircut. Yeah. So here's what I want you to do.
It wasn't actually from that newspaper.
Well, whatever it's from.
Yeah.
It's not going to be from the Financial Times, is it?
Well,
was it? It was.
That wasn't the Financial Times.
No, of course it wasn't.
The Athletic do have to fill a lot of URLs.
Yeah. The reason it wasn't the Athletic is because it was only very short.
It was the Financial Sport.
No, Financial Sport.
Never is anything so.
Shall we just keep quoting
Sunday? Is it?
Shall we just keep on quoting the Financial Sport?
It was for the newspaper from the film Wayne's World.
Yeah. It's the news of the sport. Yeah. Okay, that's what it was. But yeah, Mourinho. I mean, what do we make of that? I mean, will the haircut help them? Who knows? But there's talk that Mourinho may be given a £120 million war chest this summer. That will probably be more help than the haircut.
Is that much now?
Like he buys on bloody clippers.
Do you not think that's a war chest?
Is that replacing a left back these days? I'm not sure.
And by the way, I don't think he can spend it on his own grooming products. what have you spent the rest of the money on? Are you blind?
Yeah. He's almost certainly got an official partner for that anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, Mourinho's going to spend a few quid in the summer.
Yeah,
it's always been the plan.
I expect so, yeah.
Charm offensive, take it easy. Hey, look at me, I've got a shaved head now, guys. Yeah. And then get to the summer, right, your shit, your shit or even share.
Yeah. Eye poke.
Maybe he's been bullied and someone put chewing gum in his hair.
No.
Or maybe someone put Imac in the shower.
Yeah. Or he could have taken an illegal substance and he wants to defeat a hair-based drug test.
Yeah.
Probably cut that out.
Why? I was speculating.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the problem. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem.
I read it in the Financial Sport.
If you can prove it, it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or the Daily Financial.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah. I love the idea of you being in the dock on a libel charge. And so, sorry, Mr. Donaldson, you say you can prove it. How can you prove it? And you just pull out a crayon copy of the Financial Sport in quotes with a quote from Bunty Hoban.
Bunty Hoban.
That's the one that Harry Hill used to use. Isn't
Bunty Hoban. Yeah.
From Jim Campbell.
Yeah, or Jim. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Chief editor, of course.
But £120 million does not go off out with very fun. Exactly. It's certainly not a war chest at this point, is it? That's a loan signing nowadays.
I think that with £120 million still goes a little bit.
It does, Marcus. Mm. Of course it does. But do you think that's enough to kick Spurs on to where they want to be under Mourinho?
Well, it depends. It depends who stays around in the summer. He will be keen to keep...
I mean, he'll probably get some money from sales, you would think.
If they do make some sales, yeah. I think, you know...
Getting money from sales sounds like they're in the advertising section. Yeah. Oh, speak to the sales floor about this.
Yeah. I'm just going
to
go on the phones for a bit, get some revenue.
Get me a clip of sponsorship.
We've got some space to sell in the Financial Sport.
Yeah. Well, I think Spurs will be an interesting one to watch this summer, certainly.
Is there not a problem with the fact that they historically underwhelm when it comes to wage demands?
Yeah, but
so
Mourinho,
I imagine most of that will go on
wages. They've not had Mourinho.
Not anymore.
They've
not
had Jose in charge. I mean, look, you know what I mean. Mourinho, he's a more... I won't say more, but you know in the way Redknapp used to go into a club. And it doesn't matter what the financial situation, money would appear and he would make transfers. Mourinho, yes, he's traditionally been to big sides and they've had a few quid. But the man will make his point. I'm Jose Mourinho. I'm a serial winner. I've won trophies wherever I've gone. Mm. Give me some money.
Said it before when he was hired at the job. I mean, essentially, it's the either one... Either Levy or Mourinho's philosophy changes. One of them has to change.
Exactly. So why else would they get him in?
Exactly.
Unless it was for... To the summer interim.
The time has come. We said. I also said. I think it was me. One of us said at the time. You know, Levy spent a long time turning Spurs into the type of club that could hire a Jose Mourinho. Mm. But now they've got a Jose Mourinho. Yeah. So now they've got to do what happens when Jose Mourinho comes to your club, and it involves signing players. Yeah. So they're gonna have to do it. If they don't do it, Mourinho won't be there long, will he?
He knew this was coming. Levy must have known this was coming.
Well, yeah, but also as well, if he doesn't back him, Mourinho sulks. Mourinho won't walk away from the job. We know that because
did you see it in over Christmas? He was playing like a few players in weird positions.
Yeah, he loves it.
Classic Mourinho.
Two right backs.
He can't believe his luck that he's had such a run up for the summer in this job. You know, he's be able to play all his games and so on. But Levy's no fool. He knows what he's doing. I think this is a chance for Spurs to maybe even win that elusive trophy. Who knows? But of course, their former manager Pochettino. Couldn't win them a trophy, although he kicked them on to a much higher level. But he said he'd like to work in the Prem again.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
How many times do I have to say Man City in one podcast?
So
where he's going to go?
Do you not think Man United?
No, Man City.
No, you think Pep will move on to possibly Juventus?
I think Man City in the summer. That's my prediction. Based on nothing.
PSG
can't get very close to Champions League. Yeah. Success.
He's obviously got.
They're in the Champions League all the time.
He's obviously got a history at PSG.
I said Mastermind,
well.
I meant Mastradamus.
Yeah, you did. But last time I checked, PSG weren't in the Premier League. that's key thing.
Yeah, but well, you said he's going to go to Man City.
I mean, Paris is pretty close.
But you said he's going to go to Man City, so presumably that will preclude him from playing, doing it in two different divisions at the same time.
Also, crucially, they are in the Premier League.
You could be looking at an old league table.
It's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at 2010 when PSG were famously in the Premier League.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Well, maybe Pochettino is hearing your predictions. Because he says, I noticed the rumours. All of the coaching staff, except there are rumours. We deal with rumours naturally.
I like that. It's a nice phrase.
It's quite a beautiful way of putting it.
I had Andy Brasser and Miguel Delaney in OTC yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And they both sat in close proximity to Mauricio Pochettino at an event. And I asked them both if they got any kind of quote out of him. And they both said, he's very good at eluding questions. Oh, and it's like, that's your job. You're a journalist. Get a question. Get an answer out of him.
Every time he goes, they go to answer him. Oh, sorry, phone call.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he's just hitting his ringtone.
To which I said, "What are we paying you for?" Slam down the mic, and we all left.
I looked in the wrong answer box. It's a classic Jim.
I do love this whole, like, you know, I'm hearing the rumours, you know, or my staff accept the rumours. We deal with rumours naturally. It's like, all I'm hearing is you're out of the band. You know?
Yeah.
Jim, got no control over it.
Is it true you did an hour sit down with Pochettino and then realised it was you were actually interviewing Wander Ramos?
Yeah. Easily done, I'd say. But do you think his stock is, obviously, when a manager's out, obviously his stock rises a little bit more. People kind of forget the last 6 months of his tenure at Spurs. So you sort of think...
Yeah, the meltdown at Burnley and everything went to shit.
I think, though, people now accept that he was in the job for a very long time in the life cycle of a modern football manager.
Sure.
And that is expected to happen, really, isn't it? Yeah. You go on to win something and move, or it sort of fizzles out slightly. So I think his stock will be... mostly
it's
as
very
high.
It's very high.
Yeah,
very
I mean, there's a lot of talk of Simeone moving on, so that'd be another potential destination, would it not?
It would be. Yeah, definitely. Jim, definitely.
Man City.
I can't wait till he goes to PSG.
Yeah.
I think Man United, so there we are.
We'll go. We've all got a stake in this. You go Atletico. Go Atletico,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah.
Now we're all in the hunt.
Get in there.
The water's warm.
Get in there.
Let's get naked.
Aston Villa.
Mm.
Their next fixtures after this one are Southampton away, Manchester City at home, Leicester away, Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
Mate, they are going to be fine.
They are all teams they have to play.
Yes.
In the same division as them.
They're going to be fine as long as the referees keep abusing Dan Gosling. And
this is an interesting story.
Bourne down the Pompey Highway.
That was really weird.
Dan Gosling referred to referee John Moss as Sarky.
Yeah, and a disgrace, I think, as well. And I think
you're a king of Sarky, Pete. You tell us what's going on.
And the king wishful thinking.
Yeah.
If what Bournemouth was saying about his behaviour in that game is true, then Gosling is absolutely right. It is absolutely disgraceful that a referee would be taking the piss out of a team being in the relegation zone
while refereeing
a game they're playing.
I really don't think that's ridiculous. No, I don't.
Jim's never been good with heckling.
No, because if the players are going, "Oh, you're not seeing anything, ref," and are abusing the ref, and he turns around and goes, "Well, if you kept focus on your job, then maybe you wouldn't be down there."
I like that. I think that's shit. I don't think you should be trying to undermine a professional's confidence in their game.
Have you ever played the game?
Marcus, you're reminding me of. Clear off!
Exactly!
Clear off.
I like a bit of referee back chat sometimes because they take so much.
I think clearly there is a dialogue that is acceptable here. So if a referee, Jim, for example, if a referee said to a player, "Listen, mate, you focus on your job, I'll focus on mine." Yeah. Kind of thing. Presumably you understand.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah.
I prefer that than being aloof and just ignore, you know.
Some referees don't say, even the level we've played at, some referees don't say anything.
Yeah, one of the best ones was... What game are you watching, ref? The one I'm in charge of.
Yeah.
Genuine point.
Which one is that?
I feel
seriously?
That if a referee is behaving like that towards a group of players, he's indicating that he's actually not taking their concerns seriously, and their concerns could be legitimate. And I think that is something that's going to, you know, undermine those players, which I think is giving an unfair advantage to the opposition. I think it's ridiculous.
What about if he equally abuses and is sarcastic to all the players?
All for that.
Yeah, fine.
I mean, he's got a microphone in front of him for obviously VR and stuff. Is all of the is the chat just not constantly being recorded?
Imagine, Pete, stumbling upon the treasure trove that is all the audio files of all the Premier League game referees.
Yeah.
I'd be there all fucking day.
That would be superb. And I get what you're saying, Jim. I mean, clearly, if Gosling had like missed a penalty and he walked up and went, "Well, that's not going to help you survive relegation, is it?" Right, that is poor.
Need a few more late loopers from you.
I'm in favour of that as well.
But I think, okay, fair enough. But I take your point. But just even as Luke says, even at our level of playing football, just knowing what it's like, the kind of things people say to the referees and having a little bit of audio. Who was it? David Ellery.
Tony Adams, clear off
and all that kind of stuff.
Tony Adams was shouting at him, "Cheat!
Yeah,
cheat!
Exactly. If a referee, I think they can take a certain level. If he's meeting that player on a similar type of vein, if they're saying you're not doing your job properly and all this kind of stuff, and if the referee is, that's just that player's opinion. It's not like he's letting the other players hack him down and get away with murder. And if the referee says, as Luke says, "I'll do my job, and if you did your job better, then maybe you wouldn't be in this mess."
And I also think it's about the situation he finds himself in. Because if you are in charge of a game in the Premier League and your choices in terms of the abuse you'll get from a player is to just book them all the time, right? Then why would you necessarily do that if you think, "Do you know what, I can get on a level with the players here, I can give them a bit back, we're all on the even level playing field, if you excuse the pun, and we get through the game with 11 men on the pitch." I don't necessarily have a big problem with that because I know, and I spoke to Howard Webb about it on Ramble Meets, sometimes they get dogs abused.
Oh yeah,
and I think that what Webb wanted to say was that I can't send everyone off.
No.
Because it's going to be ridiculous. I'll probably lose my career. There'll be a big scandal. Mm. So maybe John Moss feels like that's his best way of dealing with it. Do I think some referees are weird? Yes. Mike Dean's going to be saying worse. Well, Mike Dean was accused of this earlier in his career, I think, as well, of saying some kind of inappropriate stuff. Look,
we saw some of the Premier Leagues out in the Far East. Having a bit of a party and a booze up. Okay, I'm not defending them often as individuals, but in this particular
thing, not forget Rob Stiles and his back gang down in Gun Wharf in Portsmouth having a good old booze up.
What was that?
A few years ago.
Okay,
they're human beings
as
well.
It's funny, I knew all of the words in that sentence, but the order of them confused me a lot.
That's like a stutter rap, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rob Stiles is from Portsmouth.
Yeah,
and that's why he's down there.
Indeed. Okay. Manchester United are away to Chelsea on Monday night. Odin Ighalo is in the squad for the trip to West London. He posted a video of himself training and not, you know, smashing balls into the back of the net, and then soon deleted it, and then quickly posted after that.
God, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah. some photos of him in the gym lifting weights.
Felt skillful, might delete later.
Yeah. I might delete later, yeah.
Oh, it's a strange one.
Feel like pure shit, just want Watford back.
Can we talk about Carvajal?
Yes.
Marcus, I know you want to talk about this.
Well, go on, Jim.
Well, basically, he's been sort of just giving Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a bit of advice.
Needs
it.
Yeah.
It's got this bad that like, you got backseat managers.
We mentioned old Carlos on Monday show, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did.
I can't remember why, but yes, he's got another mention.
He's been telling him how to play Bruno Fernandes, hasn't he? Like, just play him as a box to box. You know, just
he's a number eight.
He's not a lazy player. You go, you're going to have a great time.
What do you think? I mean, I know we are being a bit unfair to Odin Ighalo. We should judge him on his performances for Man United. However, this is the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, so that's not going to happen. Let's be perfectly clear. Yeah. Do you think Bruno Fernandes is thinking to himself, you know, I knew that the move to Man United was bubbling under for a while, and they're one of the biggest clubs in the world, and I was going to make the move. I didn't think I'd be feeding Odin Ighalo, though. Mm. Because, I mean, it's a bit of a surreal situation.
Well, yeah, I would love it, though, if we got the Odin Ighalo of that amazing season he had at Watford.
It wasn't a whole season, though, was it? Let's be fair.
Was it not?
I think it was about 4 months.
Right.
I think.
All right. Well, ooh, I mean, that's all he's got now, isn't it?
It was a James Beattie-ish season.
Yeah. James Beattie.
But he got a lot of goals in that season, didn't he, if I remember rightly?
Yeah,
I would just purely because it's like his boyhood dream and his genuine boyhood dream rather than like a sort of Robbie Keane one.
Yeah, and
it would just be brilliant.
They've been having street parties where he's from in Nigeria, this kind of thing, which is great. But he had a good time at Watford, but then when he had his head turned from China, I think that was it. He did a bit of a...
He followed up a 15-goal Premier League season,
yeah,
which was his only full season in the Premier League with a terrible return in the second season.
But his head had been turned, unfortunately, and then he was off, of course.
But the thing is, if he bangs in four goals from Man United, is he going to start looking at Real Madrid? That's what I'm worried about.
Chicharito, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. But yeah, but Fernandes, Carvajal has been saying that he's not a number 10, he's more of a number 8. Which you think he would be played in that sort of number 10 role for Manchester United. But
imagine him like piping up to like Guardiola, saying, oh, this is how I feel like you should play your new signing.
What?
I wouldn't have the nerve.
Yeah, I think he was talking about Fernandes. I mean, you're acting as if this is a phone call that's been recorded and then sent to the papers, which, Jim, I enjoy. You spin it the way you want, don't
well,
you?
Is this from the Financial Sport? Where have you found this?
It's from the Daily Financial. And, but one thing he's just said about Fernandes is he's not lazy. He's a fighter. He's everything to be a key player. He's a leader on the pitch. He organises all that kind of stuff. And it's true. This was said about Fernandes. I think Brassel's talked about him.
Well, when we saw him in the flesh, he seemed to be very pissed off at the quality of the players around him. So he will feel at home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He'd done his debut May 9th.
He won't be homesick at all. He won't be homesick at all until they sign somebody. Of course, just before we get to Betway's Forward Score, Chelsea, rumoured to be in for Hakim Ziyech of Ajax. That'd be a great signing.
It's just great for the market because then Messi can go to Man City, can't he?
So. Exactly. Yeah.
If he can get his place.
Just move it all around. Move it all around. But that's not happened. But it could be the long-term replacement for Eden Hazard that Frank Lampard has wanted. But that would be a really good signing.
Has he got a nice bum?
It's not as big as Hazard's, but then no one's is really. Can you think of a player whose arse is as big as Hazard's?
Ivanovic.
Yeah, it's big. Mm. Listen, show at footballramadaily.com.
Yeah.
Fill our inbox with arses. More arses.
Further arses.
Right, Betway 4 to score. Entry is free. You just pick the first goal, score it in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. If you're correct this week, you can win up to £100,000. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. There's 4 of us here and 4 games, so we take a game each. We've never won it. We've come nowhere near, if I'm honest.
Have we got 2? Yeah. Is that the best we've done?
I think we got 1 And then it we got one goal. That was a goal that was after the first. Right. It's slim pickings, Jim. But anyway, Pete's back, so we've got a much better chance now. Because it's not me choosing yours while you're away. You're choosing your own ones. And look forward to what Pete's got for his game in game two. But game one is Leeds versus Bristol City, Jim Campbell.
I've gone for Naki Wells because Leeds are having a bit of a wobble, as is customary for them when it looks like they're about to do something. And Naki Wells has joined Bristol City now, and he's not scored for them yet, I don't believe. But I reckon that's a matter of time, so I've gone for him.
Well, he was on loan at Queen's Park Rangers in the season, doing absolute bits for them. He was a really important player for them. So, fingers crossed for you there, Jim. Pete, here's a chance for you to get off the mark. You've got Norwich.
Whoa,
get out.
So, this week, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you said that you chose my my picks for me, which never happens.
To be fair, you didn't name Sammy Amiobi.
Last week, you just
you knew exactly what
you just put you fucking know, and I interpret that Sammy Amiobi. That is me choosing it for you.
Nah. Fucking not.
You can't take credit for that, Lingle.
Imagine it's outrageous that you've even attempted that in public forum, frankly.
Imagine if I picked someone else and Sammy Amiobi did score.
That is ball about to go over the line. You've whacked it in.
All right, I've nudged that. I apologise.
You've Linekered it.
I apologise to you, Pete. Very, very sorry. You are the guy here. Game two, Norwich v Liverpool. What have you gone for? Team of Pookie.
Yeah.
What chance have we got?
Definitely not a Liverpool player.
No. What chance have we got when you are selecting a goal scorer from the league's worst team against the best team
I'm
in history?
Salivating at the thought of this, all of this happening.
Well, that'd be great.
Salivating.
Listen, so am I. Do you know why? Because it'll be great for charity.
Poch to PSG, a load of money for charity. Get in there.
Yeah. I've gone for Steven Bergwijn in Aston Villa v Spurs. And Marcus, you've got Arsenal v Newcastle.
Lacazette.
He needs a goal.
He does.
He's on a big drought. He tends to score most of his goals at home.
Exactly.
So it's not impossible.
Damn so right. We've gone for Naki Wells, Timu Pukki, Steven Bergwijn and Alexander Lacazette as our four first goal scorers in Betway 4 to score. Get involved yourself over at betway.com/4 to score. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble. Do bet the responsible way.
Do they ever do the Red Red Wine UB40 song for
Bergwijn?
They must do.
They should do. No, but I saw his debut and they didn't do it then. And it was a shameful event.
After the goal he scored as well.
I know,
right?
Piss Paul.
Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Masked Winger!
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
It's time for the Masked Winger. A mystery footballer in a box. Is the Masked Singer even still on the telly?
I think
can we retire this?
Never seen it. Right. Never seen it.
All right, then.
Pete, this is the best thing you've done, and you're talking about retiring it.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, go out of the top.
I started the day over in front of a top man DJ, and I'm in a box.
Why have you put your arm in the box?
To prevent my hair from being ruffled.
Pathetic.
What do you mean? My hair's very thin, and if it gets crumpled, it stays crumpled. Headphones are bad enough. Get off my knob.
Don't. If there's any copturing, it should be from the person.
Slice your hand off. It's in full rotation.
Right, what have we got? Let's go for it.
Liam Drake has come up with these clues. Thank you, Liam Drake. You are the man. I was born on the 22nd of July, 1984.
Stop. Herman Hrideson.
Ooh.
Not a winger.
Not a winger.
I keep forgetting the wingers.
Yeah, I do as well.
No. I think we're quite loose with these definitions, so don't worry about it too.
In which case, it's
not a winger, is it?
Hatem Ben Arfa.
No, not Hatem Ben Arfa. So, Pardew did insist on playing him on the left all the fucking time.
Ooh.
What did you say where he was born? You said when?
No.
Okay, fine.
1984.
Okay.
A great year for...
Books.
Yeah, for George Orwell.
For Orwell. I've been teammates with Jason McAteer, Mido, Nigel Rio-Corker, Raheem Sterling and Lewis Holtby across my career.
Stop, Simon Davis.
No.
Oh, it's a good guess.
Can you repeat that clue, please?
I've been best teammates with Jason McAteer, Mido, Nigel Rio-Corker, Raheem Sterling and Lewis Holtby.
Okay.
Stop. Is it Gareth Barry?
It's not Gareth Barry.
He left Man City before Sterling.
I have 35 senior caps for the England international
side. Oh, that's a big clue. Wow.
Stop. David James? That would be too old.
Yeah, he's too old.
1984.
Yeah. Also, I mean, could be interpreted as a winger.
He said it's not necessarily a winger.
No, loose interpretation.
I wouldn't have it that way.
I mean, that would be a Pep
Guardiola. Pierce put him up front.
That'd be a Pep Guardiola interpretation, that.
Playing for four separate full time managers. Spotty, you'd call that, wouldn't you? Mm. Spotty. In the summer of 2019, I was released by my boyhood club.
Stop.
He's got it, surely.
Is it Aaron Lennon?
No, it's not Aaron Lennon.
Stop. I'll have Sean Wright Phillips then.
It's not Sean Wright Phillips.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Isn't his kid playing football now? He's on the books of.
Oh, that might be right.
Chelsea or.
Yeah, it's Bradley Wright Phillips. He plays in the MLS.
No, that's not Sean Wright Phillips. Sorry. Forgive me.
I can't see whether you're being satirical in this box.
Yeah, you're hot in there.
In the summer of 2019, I was released by my boyhood club at the request of my brother-in-law, despite playing in 38 games across the 18-19 season.
What the blazes?
In 2005, I was selected to be the face of the Network Rail's No Messing campaign alongside Amir Khan to discourage kids aged 10 to 16 to stop playing all them train tracks.
This is mad.
I think people have favorite. People.
That's my
favourite.
What's the clue before the last
time out again?
What, you don't want the rail, no messing on the rails?
The one before that.
Yeah, that's come up blank. Let's assume that.
Because you're too busy messing on the rails. In the summer of 2019, I was released by my boyhood club at the request of my brother-in-law.
Stop. The only one I can think of is Nick Barmby.
No, he's old.
He'd be older than 34, wouldn't he?
Despite playing 38 games across the 18-19 season.
Oh, yeah.
The only competition that I've won across my career is the English League Cup, which I've won on three separate occasions with three separate clubs. That's a hell of a record.
So he must have played for Spurs around 2000.
Loads of England caps, three separate occasions winning the bloody English League Cup. Amazing.
But not necessarily a winger.
It's a blind spot one, this.
Mm. Yeah. You've got one final clue in this.
Hang on, can I have a guess before we go on to that?
Go on then.
If you want.
Jake Livermore.
Yeah, there we go.
It's not Jake Livermore.
Yeah, it's not, is it?
No. This section's been going on for so long, my computer screen has turned off.
Yeah.
In the 2011-2012 season, I made a £20 million move to a top English club. I played in 36 games that season, registering 0 goals, 0 assists, despite taking 72 shots and creating 55 goal-scoring chances.
What season was that again, sorry?
He pushed the box back on to read it again.
I didn't think you were going to get it, so I took the box off. 2011-2012.
I can't believe this is a poor from
big
us.
Money move to a top English club.
He played for England.
I know. This is 35 times.
Yeah.
But you've confused me with the whole, is he a winger, is he not? I thought this was...
Stop. Adam Johnson.
It's not Adam Johnson, no.
Terrible to hear him mentioned.
Yes.
Frankly. Go on, we haven't got it.
We've got one more guest. Come on.
Marcus has got one more guest, I think.
Luke Moore.
We're making a podcast. Yeah. There are people listening. Guess now or don't.
We can edit out.
Oh, yeah, good. Edit all the sciences out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just edit the answer being right then.
The episode's only 20 minutes long.
All right, you've got 5, 4.
Stop. James Milner.
It's not James Milner, no. 3.
I've got nothing.
2, 1. It was Stuart Downing.
Oh, fucking hell. Of course it was.
Who's under there? Let's see if we can figure it out.
We can't.
Link up with Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Who's under there?
All right, sharp. if you want to complain about how long those guys took to do that, it's short at thefootballrumble.com. So.
Yeah. And Jim will read them out. well done. Well done, Liam. You got us there.
Cool.
You shouldn't have done, but you did. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. I'm back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for another Greatest Games podcast. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
Cheers.
Thank you, listeners.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Oh, that's hot. Oh, that's a hot one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.